What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Rob from the Great Song Podcast, and you're about to mix it up on Playlist Wars. Let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars, everybody. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Gomez, with my partner in crime, Brian Colburn, with our special guest, DT from Space Castle Podcast. How is everybody doing tonight?
What's up? What's up?
What's up, guys? Happy to be here. This is awesome.
So happy to have you on, DT, man. It's been a long time. We've been friends on the Twitter sphere for a long time. I'm finally glad that we're able to cross these shows together here.
Yeah, man, I've been looking forward to it. I've been agonizing over my list because I want to win. I want to be a winner on Playlist Wars.
Ooh, well, we're going to do our best to try to ensure that doesn't happen. No offense. But I have a feeling tonight's episode is really going to boil down to what kind of music you listen to personally. And I'm not talking about the three of us. I'm talking about the playlisters who are listening, because I could tell you right now, my playlist is basically a 2021 smorgasbord of all the albums I liked. So I didn't really go and attack this episode like, these are the top 10 songs of 2021. I did, these are my top 10 favorite albums of 2021, and here's the best representative song from each of those albums. So the genres be damned, I am all over the map with mine. I don't know about you guys.
Mine's all over the place too. You know, little hip hop, little rock, little country, little dance, little bit of everything on my list tonight too.
A little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll.
We'll see. I don't know. My list is pretty stacked, man. I've got quite a bit of like pop mainstays for the year, a lot of hip hop, a lot of hard rock. I'm feeling pretty confident.
All right. Well, before we get down to business, we also want to send a huge welcome to all of our new Patreon subscribers. If you're listening and you'd like to support the show and become a Patreon member, it's really easy. Head over to patreon.com/playlistwars and select the tier that works best for you. Once again, that's patreon.com/playlistwars. Tonight, our topic is the songs of 2021. And we've each individually created a playlist with our top 10 favorite tracks from this year, none of which have been shared between the three of us prior till now. Throughout the episode, we'll each reveal our track ones through track tens, one by one, and craft what we each feel is the perfect 2021 playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, the amazing playlisters, to vote via PlaylistWarsPodcast.com to decide once and for all which one of us got it right. Also, at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, you can listen to each one of our playlists just in case you want to quote-unquote hear where we're coming from with our choices. Later on in the show, we'll each get to choose our one honorable mention song of the night, which has to be a song that someone else picked. Now, it's a tradition for me to start each of one of our episodes with some music puns, but coming up with puns for this year would likely be a lost cause. So save your tears and go easy on me. I'm sure you'll be happier than ever that I didn't include some of the brutal puns like I used to. So with that being said, DT, I'll just leave the door open for you to kick things off with your track one.
Wow, man. I don't know if I want to be on the show anymore. Those were terrible.
Now you see why I do the entrance and not him. I couldn't follow up.
Just kidding.
I have been told by some people that they love the punny entrance and some people that they hate it. And it's definitely a lover-hate relationship. I understand that. But being a father of two, I am all in on embracing the dad jokes and making my kids cringe. So.
Totally, man. That's okay. None of those puns made me bad and Eilish, so we're good. All right. My first track is from a band from Cobourg, Ontario. They formed in 2015. The band is called Cleopatrick. They just released their first ever studio album this year, and the track is Victoria Park. Super, super cool two-piece hard rock band, one of the heavier bands I've heard in recent years. Like, Victoria Park in particular is a really cool track because their lyrics are, well, their music in general is like a weird dichotomy of like really introspective and honest and sort of revealing and sensitive lyrics versus like really hard guitar riffs and like bass lines and whatnot and drum lines. It's fantastic. The two kids, like I said, they just put out their first studio album. They're rocking super hard. They're doing their first like national tour through Canada and the States too. And Victoria Park is just one of those bangers. It's fantastic.
First of all, awesome pick. I just heard their one song. They do have an interesting group, and I would say I'd like to hear a little bit more about them. They're not on my list, though, unfortunately. Brian?
I love that song. I actually haven't heard the entire album yet, so that's why it's not in my top 10, because I kind of went with the album approach to my list. But they're on my like up-and-coming bands to really keep on the radar. I love the pick because it is a fantastic song. Unfortunately, did not make my 10. Gomez, track one.
So my track one, let's start off. I'm going to say it, not a huge Justin Bieber fan, but I'll tell you this one song I do really enjoy from him. And it's Peaches featuring Daniel Caesar and Givon, I think it's his name. Let me tell you, low key song. It's not like his usual, like big songs, all this stuff, very low key, but it was actually one of those catchy tunes that he had. And I would say very good. So track one, Justin Bieber featuring Daniel Caesar and Givon, Peaches.
Yeah, having a soon-to-be teenage daughter, I've heard that song more times than I need to hear in any given lifetime, let alone in 2021. Pretty much every day on the ride to school, when she would put on the Top 40 station, it's on. I've heard it more times than I care to want to hear. I'll tell you this. Compared to other stuff he's put out, it's not bad, but I'm just not a fan of it. Maybe because of the overplay from the kiddos.
It could be.
Because there's actually a lot of pop that came out this year that I think is actually very serviceable and enjoyable. But that one is hit the overkill level with me. So unfortunately, did not make my list. DT?
Not on my list either. But I do, oddly enough, like the pick. It's not a bad song. Bieber has matured and his music has matured a lot in the last few years as well. It's become more sophisticated, and I think he kind of really needed to do that. But not on my list, but I do like the pick.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So with that being said, we're on to my track one, and I'm going with a band who this album was released on April 30th of this year. It reached number 29 on the Billboard U.S. Hot Rock and Alternative Songs chart and number 2 on the Billboard Rock Airplay chart. The band is called Royal Blood. The album is called Typhoons, and the song is Trouble's Coming. This is a band that, on their first two albums, sounded like a cross between the Black Keys, the White Stripes, and kind of a no-frills hard rock band. When I heard they were putting out an album that had almost a dancey pop vibe to it, I raised my eyebrow, and I expected it to be a steaming pile of hot garbage. And I was shocked upon the first listen to this song to immediately say, damn, this is absolutely amazing. It's heavy, but it's dancey. It's got your head moving instantly, and it's poppy, but it still holds on to this rock that kind of makes you go, how did they come up with this idea? Because if you think about this, they're a hard rock band. Their first two albums were very stripped down two-piece guitar and drums and vocals. To add these layers and this gloss and this sheen to their music is a very, very risky move, because you can immediately alienate the fan base that you've built over the first two albums. However, these guys pulled it off and pulled it off flawlessly. It's one of my favorite albums of the year. So my track one, Royal Blood, Trouble's Coming.
Truly good pick, Brian. Great song. It did not make my pick, though. It is a eyebrow raiser, I guess you could say. I do like it. Hopefully, maybe in 2022, they might have something better for me.
DT?
I love the pick, and we'll see how the rest of your list goes, but you may have hit on my honorable mention. I love Royal Blood. I think their self-titled was my favorite album that year it came out. They're phenomenal, and they tour like crazy. Like they don't ever stop touring. So the fact that they keep writing and producing and keep evolving as artists while they're on the road is mind-boggling. But no, it's a fantastic choice, and the album was awesome too.
All right. So with that being said, DT, we're back to you for track two.
All right. Track two is Family Ties by B.B. Keem featuring Kendrick Lamar. It's been a quiet year for Kendrick. He's a living modern legend as far as rap and hip hop. And he's helping his baby cousin along, B.B. Keem. So the two of them collaborated on this single. It went to number 18 on the U.S. Billboard Top 100, went to number 8 on the U.S. Billboard for R&B and hip hop. It was released on August 27th. And it's just an absolute powerhouse between one modern rap legend and one that's soon to be one. And I love Keem's vocals. The kid's going to be a massive star. I mean, his frantic style of spitting lyrics is like trying to catch a tornado in a bottle. Like it's fantastic. So the kid, like regardless of any potential nepotism that might be happening, even if he wasn't Kendrick Lamar's cousin, he's still going to be massive. And this is an absolutely perfect debut for him.
Another great pick. I do like Kendrick Lamar. Not all his stuff, but you're right. He is a true figure on the hip hop nation of now. Compared to the hip hop artists I used to love back in the 90s and early 2000s, I guess you could say. So showing my age a little bit. Truly, truly great pick. I do like the song, but might be one of my honorable mentions. I will say that.
Wow. I'm looking at my list and I'm just going to drop a spoiler alert. I have no hip hop in my list this year. From my top 10 favorite albums of the year, none of them are hip hop this year. And that's not normal for me. But unfortunately, yeah, it didn't make my list just based on that and that alone. It's a great song. So sorry in advance for any hip hop songs tonight. You know, when you go through these lists, you think you got it. Then someone says something, you go, oh, crap. Right. I don't have any hip hop. So that might not fare well for me. But with that, Gomez, we're back to you for your track two.
So track two for me. I actually went with The Weeknd, Blinding Lights. I got to say, I'm not a big fan of the man. But I got to admit, it's a catchy tune. It actually spent, I think, in a Hot 100, 90 weeks, which ended in September 11th, 2021. It is truly a good song. It was in this year's past Super Bowl performance, I believe it was. Wasn't one of my favorite, but the man can sing a good tune. So what can I say except for The Weeknd, Blinding Lights, track two for me.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I absolutely love that song.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make my list because of the fact that it was released in 2020, but you're absolutely right. It stayed on the charts all like through 9 months of 2021. So as far as anybody's concerned, it was on the charts longer in 2021 than it was in 2020.
How do you do that? 90 weeks.
Look, if there's a song where my parents know it and they're in their 70s, that shows that the song has transcended just the pop culture realm of music, and it's become kind of this next level. And that song, let's face it, the Super Bowl, whether you liked the performance or not, it mesmerized people enough. His sales skyrocketed after it. And look, I actually got one of my favorite cover songs out of the year by a group called Saint Asonia, which features members of 3 Days Grace, Stained, Finger Eleven, Seether. They do a cover of Blinding Lights that's absolutely amazing. They kind of halftime it a little bit throughout the song. It's real heavy. And then at the end, they kind of give it a little bit of the original touch to it. But it's all done on guitars. It's a fantastic, fantastic hard rock cover. And I love the pick, but it didn't make my list. But that is a strong, strong contender for my honorable mention. I love it. So DT, Blinding Lights.
If this was 2020, I think we'd probably have a bingo with one of the Weeknd songs. I think he's fantastic. He's another one of those artists who started out as a rapper and has evolved into one of the like the best like R&B and dance musicians out there right now. He's just mesmerizing. So much fun to watch. So much fun to listen to. I love the song. I love the pick. It's not on my list, though.
All right. So moving on to my track to Gomez, I'm going to say that this is the second time I'm going to mention this song on Playlist Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I mentioned it was at episode 2. To think that...
Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing at it, but I already know what episode 2 was because this is the Cinderella episode for me.
Yeah, and I'm going country with this one, but our episode 2 was on Eric Church. But the point I'm making with episode 2 is we're approaching episode 40 now, and we're still under a year. I'm still blown away that we're talking about episode 2 like it was a really, 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 really long time ago.
Like it was like 5 years ago, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but in fact, it's only a few months back. But regardless, Eric Church was our episode two. And he released on April 16th an album called Heart, which is part of a trio of albums he put out called Heart and Soul. It's two full-length CDs plus a shorter album that was released on vinyl only to members of his fan club, the Church Choir. And I'm going with a track called Stick That in Your Country Song. It was nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Country Solo Performance, and it reached number 92 on the Billboard US Hot 100 and number 23 on the Billboard US Hot Country Songs. I'd say go back to episode two and listen to what I have to say about Eric Church, because I say it all there about this song. But damn, this is what real country music is in 2021. Not the I can't tell if that's pop music, hip hop, or country. It's actual country music. And the story behind the way this song was recorded, where they would go into the studio in the morning, write the song in the morning, and record the studio cut at night over the course of 28 days, was absolutely a brilliant concept that actually worked on the album. The song has this energy and a rawness to it that really just brings out the intensity of the subject matter. And it's probably one of the best country songs to come out of the year. So my track two, Eric Church, Stick That in Your Country Song.
Well, Brian, you know how I feel about Eric Church. You know, with that episode, episode two that we've talked so much with, actually it was with John Laurie from Tantric we actually talked about. Mm-hmm. That was my first dabble with Eric Church. And I'll tell you, I can say that I am truly a fan of his music. And this, I wish this made my list, but it didn't. But a great pick though, Brian. Very good. This could be another one of my honorable mentions.
All right. DT?
This is actually a first for me. I'm just now discovering it while being on this episode. This is rad. One of the cool things about this episode, I think, is the fact that we're going to throw each other for a loop and we're going to like learn about all new music, and hopefully like the playlisters will as well. Obviously, it's not on my list because I've never heard of the guy before, but I know that Brian is something of a country music connoisseur and he knows what real country is. So I'm actually excited to check out your playlist after this episode comes out.
All right, DT, we are back to you for track three.
Track three is Silk Sonic, Leave the Door Open, off the album At Evening with Silk Sonic. The single was released on March 5th. The actual full album was released on November 12th. The single debuted at number 4 on the U.S. Billboard Top 100. It's gotten numerous Grammy nominations, including Best Song of the Year and Best R&B Performance. It's Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars, who toured together in 2017. They became really good friends and started working on music together. They kind of formed the band as a joke, and the world-famous Bootsy Collins ended up naming the band after hearing what they were coming up with. The whole album is just so incredibly rich, and it's such a wonderful, delightful throwback to the sounds of like the 60s and 70s, while also being something wholly original. They've got Bootsy Collins on there. They've got Thundercat, who I'm sure Brian is a fan of as well, both of us being bass players. He's amazing. The whole album is a blast. Leave the Door Open was the absolute perfect choice for the first single. And the whole album is just phenomenal. It's amazing. It's just so much fun. And it's, you know, I'm going to throw a little pun in there. It's very smooth. It's smooth as silk. It's fantastic.
Gomez.
Well, I got to say, this might kill me, but I do like the song. Don't get me wrong. It's not one of my, did not make my list, and it's not high up there for me, but it's got a good vibe to it. I will say that. But as me not being a huge Bruno Mars fan, you know, I would say it does have a nice little beat to it.
I absolutely love the song. It's not on my top 10, but I'm the opposite of you, Gomez. I think Bruno Mars is fantastic. He just has a knack for crafting amazing pop songs, and he's ridiculously talented too.
He is, but I don't know. There's something there's something about him that me personally, as you know, everyone has their vibe. You know what I mean? They have their music vibe. I just don't jive with him very well with his music. You know what I mean? I listen to it, and I will say there's some songs that he does have that are very incredible, and they're very, very well overplayed now. But it's like, I guess, like you said, you have your teenage daughter that you probably heard it a lot. I mean, I'm hearing it constantly in just regular radio, and this is why I kind of switched to, you know, Amazon Music and Spotify and all that stuff, just to get away from it. You know what I mean?
Well, for me, this is actually so far a pretty high chance that it could make my honorable mention. It's such a great 70s throwback, and I feel like that kind of music is slowly starting to become, I don't want to say retro again because it's already retro. It's 50 years ago. But that kind of 70s soul sound is really starting to kind of make a comeback.
It is.
And I think there's a perfect place for it now in modern music. And they're doing a great job in kind of ushering that in. So I love the pick. Unfortunately, did not make my list. But Gomez, we are back to you for track three.
So track three, I'll tell you, I truly love this artist I'm going to talk about. She is amazing. And she's got that pop punk rock. And I'm talking about Avril Lavigne. Hmm. Yes, I know, with their song Bite Me that came out in November of 2021. It's a short song. It's like 2 minutes and like 25 seconds, I think it is. But I'll tell you, it's a great tune. And she comes up with some great songs, man. She does. This is just one of those songs that she did on her own. And she's very, you know, she's got this like super sassy kind of thing. And she's a true pop punk rocker, I guess is the best words for me.
Look, she's having a pretty strong resurgence in 2021 because she did that guest spot on Mod Sun's song Flames. That was pretty good as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a great voice. I love her style. It's kind of like a Joan Jett meets Alanis Morissette meets something a little more saccharine, but it works. And I think the song is very catchy. Because I went from the album level for my list, though, she didn't have an album to attach it to. So I kind of avoided just singles in my list. But I do like the song. DT?
I am more than happy to welcome back Avril Lavigne. She was one of those things I look back fondly on in the early 2000s. Just had a really sweet, genuine way about her. Dug her music for what it was. And yeah, I'm glad to see her back. It's not on my list. It's not quite on my radar as far as my musical tastes right now, but it's a cool track for sure. And I'm glad to see her back. It's awesome.
All right. Moving on to my track three. This album was released on July 16th, and it instantly became my album of the summer. It reached number one on the Billboard US Bubbling Under Hot 100 singles. The album is called Sob Rock. And it's an ode to all things 80s by the amazing John Mayer. And the song is Last Train Home featuring Maren Morris. The song was written by John Mayer, but produced by Don Was. And if you listen to this album, you're going to think the song kind of has this purposely 80s vibe. It's very on the nose. You're absolutely correct, because that was the intention of this album. He went and did a complete 80s throwback album, complete with the Nice Price sticker on the outside of the plastic wrap of the CD.
That's dope.
He's got the Don Johnson sunglasses on with the Miami Vice suit standing outside of a window that has this kind of bluish hue tinted over the cover. It's right on the nose 80s, and the whole album is. But this song also features Toto's percussionist Lenny Castro and keyboardist Greg Fillinganes. When you're going to go all in on the 80s and you bring in guys from Toto, it just sounds amazing. His band is top notch. This song kicks ass. And look, Maren Morris has a beautiful voice. And as far as country goes, she is one of the top female country singers of the last few years, in my opinion. And she slides right into the background of this kind of lush pop song that John Mayer put out. And she just effortlessly fits right into it. And I have no cover songs to really talk about tonight because all these songs were just released this year. But John Mayer himself actually released a reimagined ballad version of the song on October 29th. You could look that up as well. It's called Last Train Home, the ballad version. My track three, John Mayer, Last Train Home.
Great pick. I gotta admit, he's so talented with the guitar, John Mayer. I will say that, man. You said a lot about him, and I know he's probably one of your favorite artists, Brian.
Guitarist wise, yes. Of the last 20 years, he is an otherworldly guitarist. That I will say. Yeah.
Yes. He's an overall great singer. Not on my list, but again, it's a great pick, bro.
DT?
Excellent pick. I love John Mayer. I like his sense of humor about himself. I like the fact that he's got that swagger. He caught some flack a few years back for that swagger. I've always dug him. At this point, like you said, it's almost cliche to say that he is a phenomenal blues guitarist. It's criminal that people still don't realize that. Excellent pick. Fantastic song. I like the variant version of it too, but it's not on my list. But awesome, awesome pick, Brian.
All right. We are through three songs and not even a single crossover tonight. Let's see. Our record, I think we had one episode that didn't have a single crossover. Let's see how we're going as we keep moving along here. DT, track four.
Track four for me is Kokomo, Indiana by Japanese Breakfast off the album Jubilee. It was released on June 4th of this year. Michelle Zauner is the singer and songwriter for the band. And Kokomo, Indiana is just this wonderfully, warmly, richly composed song. It's about a teenager saying goodbye to their high school sweetheart and how the world is about to experience and discover all the wonderful things that that person fell in love with. It's actually Michelle Zauner's own personal favorite song off the album. And she's had a phenomenal year. She just released her memoirs, which I think are going to be made into a movie. It was really well received. She's released this album, which actually got nominated for Best Alternative at the Grammys coming in January. It's a fantastic, wonderful, just super, super sweet and richly produced album. And that's my favorite track on it, Kokomo, Indiana.
To be honest with you, you know how you were kind of surprised on Eric Church? I'm kind of surprised on this one because I've not heard this song yet. So it sounds like it's going to be a great pick. I would have to actually listen to it to give a little more into it. But it did not make my list, though, unfortunately.
Fantastic song. Have not given the entire album a listen. So given my album choices for my list, this one did not make my playlist, but it's on my list of albums to check out because I am so impressed with this first song that I've heard from them. It's the only song I've heard from them as of now, and I'm definitely looking forward to giving the whole album a spin.
It's very, very good. And Gomez, you're a big gamer. Have you played the game Sable on Xbox?
Well, I don't have Xbox. Unfortunately, I'm a PS guy. So, no, I heard good things about it from a lot of my Xbox friends. But unfortunately, I'm a PlayStation guy, period.
Gotcha. Yeah, Japanese Breakfast did the entire soundtrack for the game. And it's just so wonderfully moving and touching and very sweet. So,
nice. I got to check them out, though. That's a song I definitely will check out.
All right, Gomez, track four.
So track four, I went a little clubby here. With Dulup, Don't Start Now. I actually like this song a lot. It's got such a, feeling. It's got, you know, a little bit of the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, today's kind of feel of music. And it's just one of those fantastic songs I truly love. Very impressive. And I do like this song a lot. And this is why it is my track. God, I even know where I'm at. Track four, Dulup, Don't Start Now.
I actually like that song a lot more than Justin Bieber's Peaches, but it falls into the same category as songs I've heard 10 million times this year via the kids. Mm-hmm. But this one, I don't mind as much.
Okay.
Didn't make my list because obviously having heard it so much, I've never even thought to give the entire album a listen. But that's kind of the reverse abuse that these kids do when they play the same song every single morning on the way to school. But because of that, I am not familiar with the rest of the album, and I kind of went at the album level for my picks, but it did not make my list. But that song is really good. DT?
Very, very good pick. Awesome song. It's not on my list, but it's phenomenal. And like you guys said, I've heard it like 10 million times this year, and for good reason. It's super, super catchy. I'm not a big dancer, but that's one of those tunes that makes me want to get up and like bust a move. So yeah, not on my list, but excellent, excellent pick, dude.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. My track four is an album that came out December 3rd of 2021. So it's fairly new as for when we're taping this episode.
I already know who you're talking about because you posted this up not too long ago, actually.
Yeah, you're right. I did. But you ever wondered what it would sound like if hard rock, rockabilly, Johnny Cash style country, 1950s oldies, and John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band all had a baby together? Volbeat would be it. The album is called Servant of the Mind. Yes, I did post about it on social media. The song is called Wait a Minute, My Girl. It's an awesome, feverish, hard rock riff with a punk-esque backdrop, tinkling piano, and an energetic saxophone solo. It is literally nothing more than an upbeat, overly fun, hard rock tune. And I want to give a shout out to Patreon playlister Eric Chale, who also chimed in with this album and song. So I'm glad that he picked this one. This song, people have a love-hate relationship with Volbeat, especially in the metal community. And I'm on the love side. These guys have no problem throwing any one of their influences to the wall and meshing it together and just having fun with it. And I truly have fun listening to their albums, and I think they're going to become a household name in hard rock and metal because of the fact that they just don't care. They whatever works for what they're writing, they put out. And this song, on paper, given the recipe that I kind of spelled out at the beginning of this, doesn't sound like it would work, but boy, oh boy, does it. Track 4, Volbeat, Wait a Minute, My Girl.
Awesome pick. Like you said, Brian, it's like a love-hate relationship with Volbeat. I know you just posted on this, and this CD just came out. This is one of the songs I did hear. It's a true mixture of a lot of good bands you mentioned. I would go more on the dark side a little bit, no pun intended. But a great beat. It does have some awesome lyrics to it. It did not make my list, though. It was one of those I was wondering if I should put it on or I didn't, but a great band, great song, great pick, man. Absolutely love it.
DT?
Yeah, Volbeat is a band that it took me a long time to appreciate and get into. When they first hit, I really kind of thought they sounded a little bit too much like Five Finger Death Punch. But after they, like you said, after they stopped caring and just kind of grew into being more comfortable with what they were trying to do as musicians, it blew everything wide open. And that album is really, really good. Like, from somebody who initially didn't like Volbeat when they came out, I can honestly say, like, this new album is excellent. Not on my list, but excellent, excellent pick.
So with that, DT, we're back to you for track 5.
Track 5. It is Feeling Myself by Wolf Alice off their Blue Weekend album. The album was released on June 4th, 2021. The band, of course, formed in London in 2010. They've been around for a while, but they've gone through many, many musical evolutions. Where they're at now is sort of this cool alternative band with like some trip hop elements. It's very reminiscent of the stuff that was coming out of like Europe in like the early 2000s, really. If I had to draw like a comparison for it, I would say it's very much like the stuff that was like the Garden Street soundtrack. If you guys remember that movie, a lot of like Zero Club vibes and stuff like that. Almost like that kind of skeevy club feel, but like with dope guitars and drums thrown in and whatnot. Just an excellent song. It's very, very trippy, very sort of melodic and kind of twists and turns. And Ellie Rosewell, the singer and songwriter and guitar player for the band, her vocals are just unparalleled. And the song is just one amazing track and a fantastic album that I highly recommend everybody check out.
I'm going to have to check out another band because this is new. Again, hey, this is what Playlist Wars is about, introducing people to everything, including one of the hosts of the show. So I will have to definitely check it out. And on that note, Brian, what do you think of the song?
I love Wolf Alice.
Yes.
I am shocked they're not bigger than they are. They've kind of evolved. And I think, DT, you nailed it, because some of their earlier albums from a few years ago almost go, and you're going to laugh when I say this, but hear me out, almost have a borderline jam band feel to it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, they started out as like a two-piece acoustic band and they've evolved into what they are now. They've gone through so many different evolutions. It's rad, honestly. I like it.
Yeah. And they're high up on my like bands that should be bigger than they are list. It didn't crack my top 10, but I highly suggest, if you haven't heard this entire album, to give it a listen. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's one of those like no skip albums. Like every track is just awesome.
All right, Gomez, track 5.
So track 5, here we go again, a little hip hop now. So I'm going to go with Post Malone and The Weeknd, One Right Now. I got to say, having these two guys mash up together for a song was kind of unreal. And let me tell you, this is actually a really good song. It came out around November. And I'll tell you, between these two, the way they sing, the way Post Malone has, the way he sings, and the way The Weeknd sings, sometimes it's just they come together and make a truly great song. So for me, track 5, Post Malone and The Weeknd, One Right Now.
Well, like I said at the top of the show, I have no hip hop on my list. So instead of wasting time, it's a decent song. But obviously, with that being said, it's not in my list. DT?
I love the track and I love the pick. And I think you're absolutely right that Post Malone singing style meshes with The Weeknd so, so perfectly. They just complement each other. Their vocal stylings are just excellent. awesome track. Really, really dug it. It's one of those, again, that makes me want to like get up and like boogie around the house while I'm like doing chores and whatnot. I dig it. It's not on my list though, but excellent, excellent pick, man. Excellent pick.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to my track five. This album was released on February 5th. The song I chose reached number one on the Billboard US Rock Airplay chart, number 11 on the Billboard US Hot Rock and Alternative Songs chart. First time I heard this song, the three words that came out of my mouth started with the letters WTF because I didn't know what I was, I did not know what I was listening to at the time. It was odd. It was trippy. And it was what felt like one note being played over and over again. And yet I was hypnotized by it. And I listened to it again and again and again. And the more I listened to it, the more I understood the song, especially when you listen to the song in the scope of the album. That album is Medicine at Midnight, and it's the Foo Fighters, and the track is called Shame, Shame. It was nominated for three MTV Video Music Awards. Yes, kids, the MTV Video Music Awards still exist.
Do they really?
Apparently. Now, the strange thing is, if we were doing a Foo Fighters episode tonight, I'm not sure that this song would crack my Foo Fighters top 10 list. But the hypnotic, strange element to it fits perfectly into the eclectic Medicine at Midnight album. And compared to the rest of what has come out in 2021, the album was just weird enough to make my top 10. I want to give a shout out to Brad at Pop Culture Yearbook, who also chimed in with this album, only he picked the song Cloud Spotter. But Shame, Shame was just so left field that, kind of like Royal Blood, it shouldn't work, but it did. And stay tuned next year, because Brad from Pop Culture Yearbook will be joining us for a Foo Fighters episode. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I think I might have just spoiled the fact that this song might not make my top 10 Foo Fighters list, but that could all change between now and then. Track five, Foo Fighters, Shame, Shame.
Oh, man, Brian, great song. This is probably going to be another one of my honorable mentions. I already got two of them written down here. Great song. I truly like Foo Fighters. I love Dave Grohl, the way he does stuff. And I'll tell you, if you guys ever get to watch this band live, I highly, highly recommend it. I had the opportunity to go see him with Brian and a bunch of our friends a long time ago, and they put on a hell of a show. And I wish I could go to another one, because they truly put on an awesome show. But it did not make my list. But in the future, it might make my list in our upcoming episode next year.
All right, DT.
It's not on my list. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't love Medicine at Midnight. I do like the Foo Fighters, but they've gotten a little too, sorry, Dave and the rest of the guys, a little too formulaic. But like you said, Shame, Shame does come out of left field. So it's absolutely the standout for this album. As such, I think it's a good Foo Fighters song because it breaks out of their sort of normal routine. I think it's a great pick. It's not on my list, though.
Plus, anything that really highlights how amazing of a talent Taylor Hawkins is on drums.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the part that resonates with me, because musically the song doesn't really go anywhere, but his beat is so hypnotic. It grabs your attention. What's going on there? And the beat is, they said this was kind of a dancey David Bowie-esque Let's Dance album. And this song is just so weird that that hypnotic drum beat just works really well.
Agreed. Yeah.
And I do like David Bowie.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a David Bowie painting on my wall right behind me. I love Bowie.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
Future
that's,
episode.
That's an inevitable future Playlist Wars episode, because a lot of people have said, when's the Bowie episodes?
So yeah.
Sooner or later, that'll be coming down the pike, folks. All right. Flipping the album side over. DT, we're back to you for track six.
Okay, this one's not going to be on either of your lists, I guarantee it. And if it is, I'll be super impressed. We'll be best friends for life. It's a weird one. It's a song called Break Any Action. It's off an album called Super What, and it's by Czarface and MF Doom. The album was released on May 7th, 2021. Czarface was formed in 2013 by 7L and Esoteric, and of course Inspected Deck from the Wu-Tang Clan. And they brought in MF Doom, DMC, and Del the Funky Homo Sapien to jump on this Super What album. It's, I think, an important album because it is the first posthumous release from MF Doom, who unfortunately died in late 2020. MF Doom, there's an old saying, well, a frequently used saying, that your favorite rapper is MF Doom. He's one of those guys that's never really broken mainstream, but he's been a massive influence in countless rappers like forever. Like people like Mos Def, you'll see videos of him on YouTube just like reciting his lyrics like by heart and talking about what a genius he was. And he was amazing, smooth lyricist, just a really weird, enigmatic, strange figure too. Like he had this mythology based around him where like he always wore like the Maximus like mask from Gladiator anytime he performed. So nobody knew what he looked like. So it was almost like a Buckethead situation, but like for rap. But the entire album, I think you guys would really dig it if you haven't heard it. It's super smooth, like just cool, like throwback, like 80s and 90s hip hop with just nothing but like pop culture and comic book references thrown in. It's very, very clever, super, super fun. And rest in peace, MF Doom. If you did die, I don't know. We'll never know. Maybe you just retired somewhere and he's just chilling.
Could be chilling in the beaches of Turks and Caicos for all we know.
Yeah, exactly. But Break Any Action off the Super Watt album by Czarface and MF Doom. Check it out for sure.
DT, I do know this. I don't have it on my list, but growing up in the 80s and 90s, and if you heard our hip hop episode with our buddy Doug Miller, who we went to high school with, we didn't touch on Wu-Tang very much because we didn't put a lot on there. I wish I did put this on my list, but I already had my one hip hop because mine's going to be going all over the place now. Like I said, on my track, but awesome pick. I wish it was. This might be now the number one overall honorable mention for me because this is a great tune.
Nice. Yeah.
I was bummed when I saw about MF Doom passing away. I mean, look, the guys you mentioned on this album, I'll be perfectly blunt. I have not heard the album yet, but Wu-Tang stuff was amazing. I mean, yeah. You know, 36 Chambers is just a masterpiece.
And Triumph.
Speak for yourself, yeah. Gomez, because I did have a Wu-Tang on my 90s hip hop list. So
no, you did. Let me tell you, we could do a whole episode of just Wu-Tang by themselves.
Oh God, yeah.
Because they had way too many hits. Lyrically, the best albums, you know. Like you said, 36 Chambers and Triumph. Between those two albums alone, you could do a top 10 track list on those two albums alone.
Absolutely. You guys should definitely do that because now I want to hear that episode.
Yeah, DT, maybe we'll do a 36 Chambers with you for a future playlist and album episode.
I'll make myself available, man.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, obviously you heard my spiel about hip hop not being on my list this year. So obviously didn't make mine, but it's one that I do need to listen to the album for. But Gomez, we are up to you for track six.
So my track six, I am now going back to the club era of music, and let me tell you, one of the best collaborations of anybody is David Guetta. I'll tell you, this man could put collaborations together is unreal, and he collaborated with Mr. Jam and John Newman, and this is a revival song of the 80s and probably truly one of the queen of pops back in the day, and unfortunately she is gone. Rest in peace, Whitney Houston. Mm. But they redid this song, If You Really Love Me, How Will I Know? I'll tell you, I was listening to this song some time ago, and I'm like, wait a minute, where have I heard this song? Because I'm picturing the video, you know, of Whitney Houston's video, not David Guetta, but I'm like, wow, this is Whitney Houston's song. I gotta tell you, they did a great job with this song, I think, honoring her and giving it the upgrade it deserves for 2021. And I tell you, it's a great jam. I love it. David Guetta, Mr. Jam, and John Newman, If You Really Love Me, How Will I Know? Track six.
That's one of those songs that when producer Allie played it for me, I started singing along immediately with the chorus. And she's like, how do you know this song? I'm like, I don't know this song. But it gave me an excuse to play her the original, which she does like now as well. It's a great pick. Not on my list, though, but they did Whitney justice with that cover. DT?
It's an excellent pick. And yeah, Whitney was one of a kind. She was a legend. And this this track, I've heard it, and it does pay like honest and genuine reverence to her. It's excellent. It's a great update of the track, too. It's not on my list, but you're knocking it out of the park, Gomez. I'm a little nervous right now.
Don't be too worried. You and Brian have great lists, too. You know, don't be worried about little Gomez sleeveless cheek.
Look, I'll tell you right now, this episode is going to boil down to what genres the playlisters happen to like more, because all three of our playlists are kind of the opposite of genre specific. They're all over the place. So you throw that all together in a bucket, and there's so many songs we're talking about tonight. And just if you took these together as made one big playlist and hit random, people would think there was something wrong with the party that we were at. But in a good way, because there's just so many different great songs on this list from all different genres. So I kind of love the cornucopia aspect of it all. But with that being said, DT, you had hip hop for your track six. Gomez, you had dance for your track six. So what's more fitting than the Southern rock stylings of Blackberry Smoke? Released May 28th, You Hear Georgia's the name of the album. My track six, Live It Down. Because what follows up hip-hop and dance with some good old Southern rock?
This is true.
This song has a Southern rock swagger to it. A soaring double-time chorus that's amped up even further because of the lush backing vocals of the Black Bettys, an amazing female duo that sings backups on the album. Blackberry Smoke never disappoint on any of their albums. I've talked about them on our Road Trips episode. I'm talking about them again tonight. If you're a fan of Southern rock in even the slightest bit, you owe it to yourself to give these guys a listen and put them into your rotation. They're one of my favorites. I'm desperate to do an episode on Blackberry Smoke in the future. I hope we can make that happen. My track six, Blackberry Smoke, Live It Down.
Brian, you have talked about Blackberry Smoke before we even talked about Playlist Wars with me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to hear it. You got to check them out. And I'm going to tell you, I was, you know me, Brian. I'm always a little skeptical when it comes to new music. You know that. But I will say Blackberry Smoke is very good. And I would love to do an episode about with them. Hey, if we can get them on the show, that'd be great. But
yeah, right.
I would love to do a Blackberry Smoke. And I did say a while ago we were going to do it. We got to just get it in the schedule. But it was not on my track list. But again, a great, great pick, though, Brian.
DT?
I really dig the pick, too. Actually, Blackberry Smoke is one of those bands that's kind of coming up. And I really want to see them live because there's like 11 people in the band or something. They're like Leonard Skinner. There's like 12 people up on stage, and the musical synergy that happens when they're playing live, like check out their videos on YouTube. It's excellent. I do love that Southern rock swagger too. I mean, that's a lot of the stuff I was raised on. Love the pick, love the album, love the song. Didn't make my list, but killer pick, dude.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I will say this. If you have Amazon Prime Video, there's a 2-hour concert on Amazon Prime called Homecoming. Mm. Highly suggest you throw it up on the TV, pump it through your stereo, and enjoy it. It's absolutely fantastic. DT, back to you for track seven.
I'm going more hip hop, gentlemen. Track number seven is Tyler the Creator, and it's Lumberjack off the Call Me If You Get Lost album. This, I think, is probably the best hip hop album, best rap album of 2021. It is. Sorry, Spotify. Sorry, Drake. This is rap caviar. This is it for me. It was released on June 25th, 2021. Lumberjack was the lead single off the Call Me If You Get Lost album. This individual track hit number 45 on the US Billboard Top 100. It's 11 on Rolling Stone's Top 100 of the year. It hit 17 on the Billboard Hip Hop and Rap list. And it's just, I can't say the lyrics because they're not family friendly at all. But Tyler, the Creator, is another one of those musicians, one of those artists who has gone through an evolution. And what he hit on here with Call Me If You Get Lost is just this beastly, like hard hitting, like you cannot help but bob your head while you're listening to an album. And Lumberjack is just like, it just hammers at you. And it's wonderful. It's brilliant. Definitely check it out. Well, everybody's heard the album at this point. They've heard this song. It's fantastic. But that's my track seven for sure.
I got to admit, Tyler, the Creator, is a funny, funny dude.
Yeah, he is.
He is hilarious. I actually did not discover him until watching one of those MTV shows, Viva La Bam.
Yeah.
Or Jackass. That's where you really got to know who he was. And I didn't know until Bam said it, you know, he was singing and you hear him in one of the shows and he was actually spitting out some lyrics and you're like, wow, he actually has something. And he didn't make my list, but he is funny. He is truly legit. And he's also a decent skater, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So again, great pick. It didn't make my list, but truly awesome, man.
Thank you. Well, for the sake of time, obviously I could say I dig his stuff, but you know, my list doesn't have hip hop, so I'm not going to dwell on it. Gomez, track seven.
So track seven, again, you're hearing my list. Weekend, Avril, Thula, Post Malone, David Guetta. Now, Gomez Goes Country.
Oh, here we go. Oh,
yes.
That sounds like a record album all in itself.
Gomez Goes Country. You know what? Maybe I will make a good country album, just not me singing. But this is actually a truly legit, I think, power ballad. And it's actually two of my favorite country singers, Jason Aldean and Carrie Underwood, If I Didn't Love You. And this is truly a great song between both of them. The voice of Carrie Underwood and Jason Aldean just went so well. And they did win Best Country Duo Performance in the 64th Annual Grammy Awards. So this just shows you how powerful they are. Great song. I love both of these guys so much. Truly amazing. I definitely hope you guys enjoy it if you did not hear this song. But this is my track seven, Jason Aldean and Carrie Underwood, If I Didn't Love You.
That's a tough one for me because I love Carrie Underwood. I'm not the biggest Jason Aldean fan, and it's not that his music's not good. There's just something where some of the songs just kind of fall into a little bit of a formula for if you listen across his albums, but I understand why he's popular, so I'm not going to crap on it in any way. That is a fantastic power ballad, but from the album standpoint, because my list is kind of crafted around albums that I picked songs from, mm-hmm. I was not as big of a fan of the album that it came from as I am another country album that I'll talk about a little later. But that is a fantastic song. It's a great power ballad and I love the tune, but just for my playlist, the album it came from didn't fall near my top 10. So
okay.
This one's completely out of my wheelhouse and I'm actually really interested in listening to it after we wrap up here. I'm gonna maybe slap myself in his face right now and say that my only real like exposure to Carrie Underwood is NFL, like the football theme. So yeah, I mean,
it's just like every other guy.
Yeah, fair enough. She's very, very pretty and she can sing like no other. She's got an amazing voice. This is something that I'm discovering for the first time and I trust both of you guys. You guys have amazing taste in music and I'm looking forward to checking out this track. Obviously it's not on my list, but I'm sure I will love it and appreciate it when I hear it.
See, DT, you and I are like, we're a scale right here. Cause Gomez has a little country in the center. You have a lot of hip hop and no country on your end of the seesaw. And on my end, I have no hip hop and some country. So we're all even steel here across the board.
I'm like the white filling of a creamy yellow Oreo right now.
Ew. Let me get that disgusting image out of my head. I am going to go on to my track seven. And I'm going to lean into the hard rock a lot with this one. Released on March 5th, the album Niracious reintroduced the world to Chevelle. And the song Self-Destructor is my pick. The song reached number one on the Billboard Mainstream Rock chart. And I get to drop our first movie reference of the night, which I'm shocked I get to do, but The Hitman Wife's Bodyguard, this song is in the movie.
Great movie.
So look for that. Chevelle is a criminally underrated hard rock band that deserves to be a hell of a lot bigger than they are. I've seen them live and it's always as a support act. And I always wonder how they're not the headliner. And this pummeling riff is just another example of why. My track seven, Self-Destructor, Chevelle.
Awesome. Awesome pick. I have to check out Self-Destructor. Sounds like it's actually a song I would like a lot.
Dude, it is absolutely fantastic.
I mean, again, like you said, they should be like a headliner, but they're not for some strange reason. They are probably one of the more underrated bands that I know of.
Well, they're a headliner at like the club level, like
yeah,
Starland Ballroom, 2,000 yes. people. These guys should be selling out like a PNC Arts Center of 20,000 people easily, in my opinion.
They've been to PNC, but they were not the headliner. They're one of the opening acts, but
right. You're
right. They should be up there, and unfortunately, they're not. But they are a truly awesome band. I have to check this out, Brian. I will say it. I have not heard this song. But the way you describe it, it sounds like one of those songs I would love.
You would absolutely love this one. I could guarantee that you'll love this one. DT?
I actually haven't heard the song, but it's another one of those.
DT, you will love this song too. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Chevelle was like a mainstay for me in like high school. Like all my buddies, like we'd go cruising around the mall and whatnot. And Chevelle would always be in the playlist somewhere, some way. Like my oldest friend that I still talk to, known since I was 8 years old, he was really into Chevelle and our circle of friends really into him at the time too. They kind of faded out. So I'm surprised and kind of really happy that they're making sort of a comeback with this new album. I love their old stuff, so I'm sure I'll really dig this new stuff too. So that's awesome. I'm glad they're back. That's rad.
Yeah, I'll say this much. If we were doing a Chevelle episode tonight, Self-Destructor would be in my top 10 Chevelle songs of all time.
Damn, right.
Easily.
On.
Easily. It's that good. DT, track 8.
Track 8. All right. Gomez went a little country. DT is going to go a little sentimental. My track 8. It's Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo off the album Sour. Rodrigo was a Disney kid. She started out in like High School Musical and all that stuff. And she totally broke out and is doing her own thing now. And all of Sour is excellent. It's a really, really very sweet, kind of sentimental, mostly breakup songs. But man, if I was like 15, 16, like it would totally be my jam. But Driver's License, just in and of itself, like the composition of the song, the melody of the song, the flow of the song, and her vocal range should not be coming out of somebody who is like 17 when the track came out. It was released as a single earlier in the year, but the full album came out on May 21st. It's her debut. It hit number one on the US Billboard Hot 100. And it's like one of those songs and like a Dua Lipa song that is literally on the radio every single time I get into my car. And for good reason, it's phenomenal. She's going to be a massive, massive star.
You're right. I know exactly who you're talking about because I've seen High School Musical because my daughter's a music fanatic. She loves all that type of stuff. And hearing her voice, you're like, wow. And for only being 17 is really unbelievable too. So it did not make my list, but awesome pick on her though.
It's probably my oldest favorite album of the year. So I have heard the song more times than I could ever imagine. I actually really enjoy the song, but it has reached a point of overkill for me this year because of hearing it nonstop from through the wall. So usually when I hear it, so I think that, you know, coupled with the fact that I've heard it 11 billion times, it didn't make my list, but it's a fantastic tune. And I definitely see her being a huge star in the pop world over the next several years. Shout out to Brad on our Patreon, who chimed in with Brutal and Deja Vu off that album. Two other tracks that also sound like that to me. But definitely there's no denying that as a huge, huge song for the year. Mm-hmm. Gomez, track 8.
So track 8 for me, I'm going to go now to some hard rock, but not now just any hard rock, female hard rock. And I'm going with Evanescence, Better Without You.
Ooh,
I'll tell you, great song. Amy Lee's just an unbelievable singer. Brian, I think you're going to enjoy this song in the next pick I have. So I'm going to go back to back female rockers. I'll just say that, okay?
Okay.
This song is about her journey, what she's overcome with the band and everything, fighting battles and stuff. You know, everyone's got their battles to fight. But she could just sing, man. Anything with Amy Lee is on, when you're hearing her or Evanescence, I'll tell you, it's just a great, great, great combination. This song is just, it speaks from where she comes from. She's not a BSer. She just belts out the words. She just sings. She's just got some great vocals for a rocker. And I'll tell you, man, I love this song. Truly one of the good ones for me. So Evanescence, Better Without You, track 8. Guys, let me hear what you think.
Dude, I'm so glad you mentioned this album because this album just missed my top 10. This Ooh. Is probably a shoe-in now for my honorable mention. The Bitter Truth is a fantastic return to form for when Evanescence truly was a hard rock band. This album is much more heavy than anything they put out in the last decade. If you buy the Target exclusive version, you get two amazing cover songs. You get their piano cover of Cruel Summer, which is gorgeous, stunning version, and a cover of The Chain by Fleetwood Mac, which is also really good. I talked about that on our Fleetwood Mac episode. Fantastic album. Barely missed my top 10. Right up there for my honorable mention, though. I love the song. DT?
Yeah, I love Evanescence. They've got kind of a special place in my past and my heart. I actually knew one of the guys who worked as a producer on, I think, self-titled. I can't remember. But he was a dude named Jeremy Parker, who's based out of Phoenix, Arizona. And I used to go and hang out with him at concerts and whatnot. And I've actually seen like the Grammy he won for helping produce that album. It's nuts. Evanescence is fantastic. This new album, like you said, it's an amazing return to form. I don't know anybody who didn't have a massive crush on Amy Lee back when they first broke out. Yeah, killer track. Not on my list, but if we were doing like a top 30, it might be. It's a great track. Awesome pick.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. So my track 8 is a song that if we were going to have any crossovers at all tonight, I think this would be the song that would give it. If it doesn't, I won't be shocked, but maybe I will, because this is the most famous song that I'm putting out on my list tonight. It reached number one on the Billboard US Hot 100, as well as number one in 26 other countries. From the album 30, which was released on November 19th, I'm going with Adele, Easy on Me. It broke Spotify and Amazon Music records for the most streams for a song in a single day or in a single week. Adele has a generational voice. This is just another effortless example as to why every album she's ever released has been an overwhelming success. It's a beautiful song. And again, I haven't been able to spit out any cover songs tonight, so it's really driving me nuts. But again, shout out to Target. If you guys want to advertise on us, we're game. If you buy the Target Deluxe edition of the CD, there's a bonus version at the end of the album that is Adele with Chris Stapleton singing the same song, only Chris Stapleton harmonizes the entire song. Is it better than the original? I'll leave that up for you to decide after you listen to it. But my track 8, Adele, Easy on Me.
Oh, Brian, you're right. We do have a little bit of a crossover here.
Oh, finally. We've gone through 7 songs with not even a single one. I'm glad we finally have one.
Brian, you said everything you had to say about this song. It's a truly great song. This is actually track 10 for me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm going to end it with this song. I was flipping between, I don't think I've ever gone female, female, female to end my track list, but I am tonight.
Well, you did on the 80s Divas episode.
Oh, that's right. Well, that was no choice, but I'm talking about like did not involve 80s Divas.
There you go.
So for me to have her on my track list, I was having a hard time between Evanescence, my track 9, and Adele's my track 10. But I just wanted something that represented a phenomenal singer. And I heard the Chris Stapleton version too, which is another great version of it too. But I would say this, it's just one of my favorite songs from her in a long time, besides Hello. she just got that voice that if you hear her, you love it. Instant hit. Adele, Easy on Me, track 10 for me, man.
DT?
You guys don't even want to know how close we came to having a bingo on this.
Oh, you SOB, you killed it, didn't you?
I know. Like
Brian, get the axe.
Oh, I'm not coming back for Wu-Tang. That's okay.
No. You're the trifecta killer. Oh, man.
It would be like my top like 12. It would be number 12. And I had it on my list like 3 times because the album is phenomenal. She is luminescent. She is one of the all-time great vocalists and songwriters. She's amazing. I listened to this song earlier today and I was like, should I put it on the list? And I ended up just not doing it. Sorry, guys, but undeniable pick. Fantastic pick. Awesome.
Wow. So DT takes the proverbial Playlist Wars axe and chops Adele. Wow. Oh, I honestly thought Adele was a shoo-in. I thought I was. So, wow. I love the curveball here. Shocker. We don't have a trifecta on Adele. Wow. So DT. Track 9. Now I want to hear what you've come up with.
I'm speechless right now.
I know. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm legitimately sorry.
That's all right, man.
Trust me. We know this feeling. The guilt on Playlist Wars is real. It's not.
It really is because it's happened to us several times. It's not the first and won't be the last.
Nice. Track 9 for me is a song called Starry Eyed by a band from Los Angeles, California called Dead Sarah. The album is called Ain't It Tragic? It was released on September 17th, 2021. It's their third studio album. It's a band who formed in 2002, and they broke out in like 2012 with a really badass song called Weatherman. This new album, Ain't It Tragic, is like a culmination of all their growth as a band, and it's really like a solidifying of all their experimentations as songwriters. The lead vocalist, Emily Armstrong, I think has one of the best all-time rock voices ever. And Susie Medley is just an absolute thrasher of a guitar player. They rock so hard. This new album, I was so thrilled with it. And the first track, Starry Eye, will just knock you off your feet. It's excellent.
Excellent pick. It did not make my list, though.
I was actually wondering with that female artist at track 9 if maybe it would have.
No, no, but you're going to be so happy with my track 9, I think.
All I've got to say for DT's track 9 is I love Dead Sarah.
Yes, this is why we're friends.
Yeah, dude, Dead Sarah and Evanescence now are my 50-50 coin flip for an honorable mention. They are so good. Weathered instantly grabbed me the first time I heard it, and I was a fan for life. This new album is incredible. She has one of those voices, almost like Lacey from Flyleaf, where it's just a voice where as soon as you hear it, you automatically know who you're listening to. Yeah. It's so distinct.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's perfect for the music they play. I absolutely love the song. And damn it, it did not make my list, but I love the love the pick. Cool. Gomez, back to you for track 9.
So track 9, this is a big one. I think this is going to be, you're going to be very happy with this pick, Brian. And I went with Hailstorm, Back from the Dead.
Ooh.
Okay. Brian, you and I have seen Hailstorm before on live.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzie Hale has an incredible voice with Amy Lee too. This is why I had a hard time. Do I go back to back or do I separate him with Adele? I had to go back to back because if I think it was Chris or I think it was you, I can't remember who told me about Amy Lee, Lizzie Hale, and they did Linkin Park tribute to Chester Heavy.
Chris and I told you about that when we were offline after another episode taping recently. Yeah.
Okay. So let me tell you, these two, this is where I went. I had to go back to back with these two incredible rock women of now. Unbelievable voices. This song, Back from the Dead, finds Lizzie what we're trying to do right now and to surviving and overcoming mental health issues, breaking free from depression. Everything. This is what we're dealing with in life right now. And let me tell you, she is truly a great person. If you're hearing us, Lizzie, you actually replied to me on Twitter, which was awesome. Truly a fan of hers and the band. So for me, Hailstorm, Back from the Dead is my track 9.
Oh, man. Like I was sitting there going, I'm going to have an easy time picking my honorable mention tonight. And over the last three songs between Evanescence, Dead Sarah, and Hailstorm, now I have no clue what the hell I'm going to do for my honorable mention, but it's down to those three. Damn it. Damn it. Damn it. DT.
DT. This means Brian's going to throw a chair at me one day when he sees me.
Oh, that's awesome. Love the pick. Great band. Killer band. Women Who Rock. That's awesome. It's not on my list, though. It didn't make its way into my top 10, but I do really, really love the pick, and I like the band a lot.
Yeah, same here. Oh, man, that's going to be so hard. Okay, so moving on to my track 9. Gomez, I know it didn't make your list because
I'm closed.
You're closed. And DT, you said you don't have any country, so I know this didn't make your list, but the album was released on October 15th. It's my second favorite album of the year. I've listened to it no less than a dozen times. Zac Brown Band, The Comeback. And I'm going with the title track, which has yet to be released as a single. But if you listen to the album, this title track just grabs your attention. It's a blend of all the things I love about Zac Brown Band. Several different vocalists in perfect harmony. A little bit of country, a little bit of bluegrass, a little bit of John Mellencamp, all kind of strung together in this perfect blend of music. It's, man, thank God, because the band, their last album was called The Owl, and it was kind of a dance pop album. And to me, The Comeback is where the band is at their strongest, doing what they do best. And the album as a whole for Zac Brown Band is up there with The Foundation and You Get What You Give as my favorite Zac Brown Band album, and it was only released a few months ago. So I know neither one of these have it, but my track 9, Zac Brown Band, The Comeback. If you want to chime in on it, feel free.
Great pick, Brian. Of course, my list is done, but Zac Brown Band, you can't go wrong with them at all. I have to listen to the new album. I have not heard it yet.
Oh, dude, it's so good.
But I will say this. They are growing on me more and more now. And I'm looking forward to hearing the new album.
DT?
Yeah, same. I really dig Zac Brown Band. They're a lot of fun, but I'm on the same boat as Sleeveless over there, where I haven't heard this new album yet. So, but yeah, I mean, Brian, you're like a connoisseur of country music, and I trust your judgment, and all of your picks have been great. And I'm sure this new album from Zac Brown is phenomenal too, because all their other stuff is great. It's a blast.
Yeah, they're so much fun. So, okay, well, with that being said, we are down to two choices. Gomez is closed out because his track 10 is Adele's Easy on Me. DT, let's hear what your final track is.
I would be shocked if this isn't a crossover, because the year 2021 absolutely indisputably belongs to this young woman. It's Billie Eilish. The album is Happier Than Ever. And the song that I picked is My Future. The album was released on July 20th, 2021. It's her second studio album ever. She wrote it, as always, with her brother Phineas. And she, as a person, and her music have just demonstrated this massive amount of growth. It's got this, the whole album has like this quiet, sweet confidence that just shows her evolution, but without moving too far away from like her trip hoppy sort of poppy music from the first album. It's nominated for Album of the Year. It's nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album at the Grammys. It's topped at number one so many music charts that it's impossible to name them all, like in every single country of the world. I love this song because it's so confident and so chill. And it starts out as like this slow, almost like a crooning style song, and just displays her vocal abilities. And then it builds into this really sweet, funky little groove and almost kind of turns into almost like a throwback, like Donna Summer style jam. Like, it's just an awesome song. The album is absolutely phenomenal. It's flawless. She's another one of those young talents who just absolutely blows me away. And she's gone from like this plucky little rebellious kid to this very poised and really reflective young lady. And it's neat because it's very much reflected in her music too. This new album just blew me away.
Well, I gotta say, that's a great pick. She's not on my list because mine's already closed. She's very different from all the other female singers. I got to see her on one of the MTV Live shows that she did, and she's just got a phenomenal voice. So, awesome pick on Billie Eilish.
Well, DT, I am going to spoil the crossover parade. We only have one crossover tonight, which is Gomez and I on Adele. Had you picked Therefore I Am, I would have probably put that into a quad honorable mention fight with Evanescence, Hailstorm, and Dead Sara. I like Therefore I Am more than My Future, but yeah, there's no denying her talent.
Yeah.
I do like the pick. I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to agree with your pick, and your playlist is extremely strong. But when you were saying that 2021 was the year of, I really thought, because you said for this young, and then you said female artist. Had you said this young male artist, I probably would have known who you were talking about. Because my track 10, his self-titled album, was released on June 11th, and it's my favorite album of the year. First time I heard it, I said it would be my favorite album of the year. That has not changed since June. And I'm going with The Legacy, the son of Eddie Van Halen, Wolf Van Halen's Mammoth WVH, with the song You're to Blame.
Awesome pick.
The album itself reached number 12 on the U.S. Billboard 200, which is not bad for a debut album from a hard rock, quote-unquote, band. And as a musician, Wolfie plays every instrument and sings every note on this album. To me, that proves he's more than just some kid that's using his family name to gain notoriety. Sure, the name helps. I get it. But this would be a hit album regardless of what the kid's name is. And I chose this track because the riff is absolutely killer. The chorus is soaring and the melody grabs your attention. Now, the song The Distance hits me to the point of tears every time I hear it, especially given the meaning of the song. But as an album, You're to Blame, to me, best exemplifies what you're going to get when you listen to this album. And I want to give a shout out to Cactus Pete on Twitter, who also chimed in with my track 10, Mammoth WVH, You're to Blame.
Brian, awesome pick. Like you said, the guy has the name, but he could literally play. He's not just using the name. He's doing it on his own too. Truly awesome pick though, Brian.
Yeah, I agree completely. The kid, regardless of his last name, is just knocking out of the park. And I mean, I remember seeing him come up and replacing Michael Anthony on tour with Van Halen playing bass. And I was like, wow, this kid's a musician. Like, granted, I mean, his father's like one of the all-time great rock and roll guitarists of all time, but he's broken out and he's made a name for himself. And he's proven that, like, he's not just his father's son. He is his own man. This album's fantastic. I love the pick. Obviously, it's not on my list, but I love it. And like you said, I love the meaning behind that particular track, too. It's, yeah. Rest in peace, Eddie. We miss you.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Amen.
So before we get to our honorable mentions, I do want to give a shout out to a few of our Patreon members. Once again, that's patreon.com/playlistwars if you'd like to support it. A few of the Patreon members chimed in with some picks, and we want to give them special shout outs. Our newest Patreon member, DrOwens901, chimed in with the track AJR's Way Less Sad. And he explained that it was released the day his mom passed away, and he used it as a song to deal with his grief. It's a, you know, we're sending our heartfelt condolences to you and the family. And yeah, it's a fantastic pick there for a song. It's a hell of a tune, and hearing your story to it, I was kind of hoping that somebody else had this on their list tonight so we could have talked about it more, but it's a fantastic song. And obviously I don't know how to even think what that, when that time comes for me losing a parent, and I'm glad that you were able to find a song to help you deal with that. So yeah, I'm just kind of at a loss for words with that one.
I know how it is, Brian, because you've been there for me. Yes. So, you know, again, I totally get it too. So for me, my sincerest condolences. I know how it is to losing a parent. It's not the easiest thing, especially when I lost my dad.
Yeah. I lost my mom when I was 18. So yeah, I can absolutely relate. And good on you for powering through it. And like Brian said, finding a song to help you get through it, because it's one of the roughest things you can experience. So
exactly.
But man, the power of music, right? It'll get you through the hardest of times. It's amazing.
Amen. Amen to that. And some of the other chime-ins, Philip wrote in with Doja Cat, her Planet Her album, especially Kiss Me More and Woman. And Anthony chimed in with his favorite album, which was Dream Theater's A View from the Top of the World. And his favorite song, Iron Maiden's The Writing on the Wall. That one just missed my list as well. I absolutely love that song, and I love the latest Iron Maiden album. That was a tough one not to include in my top 10. And then Chael chimed in with The Armed, Ultra Pop, as his album of the year. Did not make our lists, but thank you to all the Patreon playlisters for chiming in. And now, DT, it is up to you to tell us what your honorable mention song of the night is. We put you on the hot seat first.
Oh, it's Adele, Easy on Me. It's got to be. Like, it just barely didn't make my top 10, and I'm still feeling guilty about it. I might need to have a stiff drink after this recording. But no, phenomenal song. And yeah, I'm glad you guys picked it. Sorry I didn't, but yeah, Adele, Easy on Me. That's slam dunk for my honorable mention.
All right. Well, now we have an honorary honorable mention for Adele's Easy on Me. Gomez, what do you got for an honorable mention?
Oh, man. I'm having trouble with this one because, Brian, you have some great, great songs. And, you know, one of them is definitely Foo Fighters. It's fighting. Blackberry Smoke is fighting. But I'm going to have to tip my hat to DT today. I'm going with Breaking in the Action.
All right. Nice. MF Doom. Yeah. And Czar Face. Excellent album.
Thank you. Now, Brian has the hardest one today.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
Tune in next week when Brian finally decides what his honorable mention. This is tough, man. Oh, my God. Evanescence, Hailstorm, Dead Sarah.
You have a great, and no matter who you pick, it's just great songs. So the playlisters are waiting. They want to know.
Man, I can't. Well, I guess I got to come up with something. And as an album, I'm going to remove Hailstorm because the album's not out yet. The album's coming out sometime in 2022. So this could be a song that appears on my 2022 playlist. So it's down to Evanescence and Dead Sarah. And
choose wisely.
I'm going to go with Evanescence because of the cover songs that are on the Target exclusive edition. But damn it, Starry Eyes is so damn good.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to tip the hat to Gomez for Evanescence with Better Without You.
DT, were you going for that the Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade there. Choose. But choose wisely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the
He chose wisely. He didn't choose poorly, man. He had a hard one. I got to admit.
Both awesome choices. So, yeah.
They're both awesome choices.
Correct holy grails amongst all those other cups. So
exactly, man. So you chose wisely, as he would say, as he says in the movie, as me and DT are totally movie fanatics here.
Of course. So now it is time to run through our choices one by one so everyone can hear our idea of the perfect 2021 playlist. DT, why don't you kick things off?
Yes, sir. Track one was Victoria Park by Cleopatra off their album Bummer. Track two was Family Ties by Baby Keem featuring Kendrick Lamar. It was a single. Track three was Leave the Door Open by Silk Sonic on their album An Evening with Silk Sonic. Track four was Kokomo, Indiana by Japanese Breakfast on their album Jubilee. Track five was Feeling Myself by Wolf Alice on their album Blue Weekend. Track six was Breaking the Action off Super What by Czarface and MF Doom. Track seven was Lumberjack on Call Me If You Get Lost by Tyler, the Creator. Track eight was Olivia Rodrigo's Driver's License off her album Sour. Track nine was Starry Eyed by Dead Sarah off the album Ain't It Tragic. And number 10 was My Future by Billie Eilish off her album Happier Than Ever. Honorable mention was Adele, Easy On Me. It had to be.
Gomez.
Track one, Justin Bieber, Peaches. Track two, The Weeknd, Blinding Lights. Track three, Avril Lavigne, Bite Me. Track four, Dulap, Don't Start Now. Track five, Post Malone and The Weeknd, One Right Now. Track six, David Guetta with Mr. Jam and John Newman, If You Really Love Me. Tribute to Whitney Houston there. Track seven, Jason Aldean and Carrie Underwood, If I Don't Love You. Track eight, Evanescence, Better Without You. Track nine, Hailstorm, Back from the Dead. Track 10, Adele, Easy On Me. My honorable mention is Czarface, Breaking the Action.
All right, my track one was Royal Blood's Trouble Coming. Track two, Eric Church, Stick That in Your Country Song. Track three, John Mayer with Maren Morris, Last Train Home. Track four, Volbeat, Wait a Minute, My Girl. Track five, Foo Fighters, Shame, Shame. Track six, Blackberry Smoke, Live It Down. Track seven, Chevelle, Self-Destructor. Track eight, Adele's Easy On Me. Track nine, Zac Brown Band's The Comeback. And track 10, Mammoth WVH, You're to Blame, with an honorable mention of Evanescence, Better Without You. Three completely distinct playlists here. Playlisters, you're going to have a tough one with this one. It all depends on what kind of music you listen to in 2021. So now we turn it over to you. Head over to PlaylistWarsPodcast.com. Visit the Songs of 2021 page and vote for which one of us you think got it right. DT, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit more about Space Castle and where they can find out more about what you guys got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Space Castle. It's a podcast we do every Wednesday. We call it Your Clubhouse and Ours for all things nerdy. And that's exactly what it is. It's me and two of my best friends in the world just talking about whatever comes to mind. It could be video games, movies, television shows, tabletop gaming, you name it. We pretty much cover it. We're having a blast over there. We're actually coming up on our 40th episode, too. We're right there neck and neck with you guys. But you can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Space Castle Pod. You can find our website at spacecastlepod.com. And you can also reach us on Gmail if you want to hit us up with a pop culture question that could, you know, potentially ruin our friendships and cause a fight at spacecastlepodcast at gmail.com. We'd love to have you guys over there.
Well, DT, thank you for coming with us this week for the show. It was amazing having you. I really appreciate you. Brian, as usual, my right-hand man, the man who makes this show work, actually. I can't thank you enough. Also, vote on PlaylistWarsPodcast.com. Check us out on Patreon.com/PlaylistWars. I can't thank you guys enough, and I cannot wait for a new battle that's going to start next week. So good night, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars, on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at playlistwars@gmail.com, or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.